Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pay attention for a few moments this morning to one single verse in our epistle lesson. And that verse is verse 6, where Paul says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So Paul is confident, and his confidence is that God has begun a good work in us, and that God will perform that good work until the second coming of Christ, until Jesus comes back. Now, what is Paul urging upon us? He is urging upon us Christians a thankful and joyful confidence in our salvation, because our salvation is God's work toward us, for us, and in us, which begets growth and holiness. All right? So your salvation is God's work from beginning to end. In theological circles, we refer to this as monergism, divine monergism. And that means that there's one person who is working our salvation, and that is God. Our salvation, therefore, rests 100% upon God. And that's what this verse tells us. God has begun a good work in us. If it were left up to us, we wouldn't even have begun. And God will perform that good work which he's begun. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And therefore, you may be confident in your soul's salvation. Now, what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is either some form of self-deception where you put your trust in some self-made idolatry and you end up bringing yourself under the curse of God. Or, more often, what happens is when it comes to the thought of our soul's salvation, we get all insecure, and we get all iffy, where we ought to have exclamation points and confidence, we have dot, 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 and wimpy shrugs. Why? Because we're not really sure if we're going to be saved. Because we know ourselves and we know our weakness. And therefore, we sometimes even feel desperate in our weakness. And when we think, "Am I going to be saved?" Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." And I said, "How am I going to endure to the end? I can barely make it through a day without falling into some kind of sin." And so we are insecure and we are desperate, and sometimes we feel the pull of creeping despair, and this produces not a joy in the Lord. It produces the idea that our salvation is thoroughly dependent upon what we do with our works and our attitudes. And this is a breeding ground for backsliding and for apostasy. You know, when you're constantly down in the dumps about your relationship to God, when you're focused on your own self and your works, and you think that that's what makes the difference between your salvation and your damnation, it's easy to fall into the slough of despair. It is easy to become maximum insecure. God does not want you to fall into that trap. The Lord wants you to be confident that you are among the elect of God, that you are saved, that your sins are forgiven. And so he emphasizes here in this verse the confidence of those who are in the fellowship of the gospel. And that's what the church is. The church is the fellowship of the gospel. We are all participants in the good news. And what is the good news? What we cannot do because of our sins and our weakness, God has done and does for our redemption. Our salvation is God's work from beginning to end. And that inspires us to be confident. Yes, we know that we're sinners. Yes, we know that we fail. But we do not lose hope and we do not lose confidence because we know that it is God who is our Savior. We are not our own Saviors. It is God, and He is committed to finishing the good work that He started in us, and He will do so, and we can rejoice in it. All right, so let's take a look at this, and let's view it in the light of Martin Luther's Small Catechism. Just the very word makes people shiver. The catechism. All right, now. God has begun a good work in you. All right, that's A, part A of my sermon today. God has begun a good work in you. What is that good work that He has begun? He has called you and gathered you to Himself by means of holy baptism and the preaching of the gospel. When you were baptized, God reached out to you and embraced you in His own arms, the arms of grace and salvation. And through the preaching of the gospel, He has called and gathered you into His holy church. He said to Peter, "Upon this rock, the rock of the gospel, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So you are baptized. Who baptized you? The Lord did. All right, and you have the gospel in your hearts. How is that? Because He sent it to you. And it is His gospel, and it concerns your salvation. The gospel of our salvation in Christ. So, as it says here in the explanation of the third article of the Creed, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. All right? And that's what we're talking about here. The gospel comes to us in baptism, and the gospel comes to us in the preaching and hearing of God's word. So He has called you to Himself by means of baptism and the gospel. So He has begun a good work in you. And when you were baptized, He gave you new life and the Holy Ghost. Alright. Secondly, he has enlightened and sanctified you by means of the word and sacraments. Listen to what it says here. Even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. So, he began his good work in you by baptism and by the word of the gospel. And by baptism, gospel, and the sacrament of the altar, he continually enlightens you and causes you to understand his good and gracious will towards you so that your faith grows greater throughout your life. You are enlightened by means of the word and sacraments, and you are sanctified. Whenever you have a desire to do the will of God in this world, it is the Holy Ghost who produces in you that desire and the power to do it. So not only does he let you see and understand the will and word of God, but he also produces in you the desire and the power to do his will in your daily life. So he has begun a good work in you. He has received you to himself in baptism. He has instructed and enlightened you with the gospel. He has nurtured you and strengthened you and sanctified you by means of your baptism, the preaching of the gospel, and the blessings of the sacrament of the altar. But our lesson tells us more than that. It tells us that not only has God begun, God is not like us. We are people who begin many things that we never bring to completion. How many things can you think of just off the top of your head that you started, but before you ever finished them, you got bored with? Well, so God is not like that. God has begun a good work in you, but God will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does our catechism have to say about this? Listen, it says, even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. See that? Not only does he bring you into the Christian church, not only does he enlighten you and sanctify you and gather you, but he also keeps you in the Christian church. He keeps the whole church with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. So your perseverance in the faith is the direct result of God's commitment and power and activity toward you and in you to preserve you steadfast in the faith. He keeps his church with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. But there's more. Listen, how does he perform the good work until the day of Jesus Christ? He keeps us, but more. The catechism says, in this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. So every day of your life, you are being richly and daily forgiven of your sins so that you do not build up a catalog of sins that are laid over your back and that weigh you down and make it harder and harder for you until you finally fall flat on your face and give up in despair. No, he richly and daily forgives sins to me and to all believers. That's how he performs the good work which he began. He keeps us in the faith by means of his gospel and sacraments, and he richly and daily forgives all sins. You're going to kneel at the Lord's altar today. What are you going to receive? Well, the chief thing you're going to receive is the forgiveness of your sins, life and salvation. But I'm not done yet. Not only does he keep you with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, not only does he daily and richly forgive all sins to you and all believers, but listen, he will, on the last day, raise up me and all the dead, and give unto me and all believers in Christ eternal life. Do you see that? Every day Jesus is using the word and the sacraments to keep you in the faith. And every day he is using the word and sacraments to richly forgive you all your sins. And every day he promises that on the last day he will raise you from the dead and give you eternal life. That's his promise. He not only began a good work in you, but he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So you therefore may be confident that you're going to make it to the finish line. That you are going to stand before the Lord and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." All because your salvation is God's work from beginning to end. And what Luther says at the end of the three articles of the Creed is a perfect conclusion to this sermon. This is most certainly true. Amen.